Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Will Adler is here. He's the founder of Silva State Government Relations. He's here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation, and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Will Adler. He is the founder of Silva State Government Relations. We're trying to take a look back at the session now that everybody's had a chance to breathe a little. What would you say were the highlights for you?
I would say the highlights of the Nevada legislative session is that it has to end, right? So that it's constitutionally limited to 120 days. But really, I do think it does put a finer point on what is the Nevada legislature. We have to get it all done, you know, 2 years worth of work in 120 days, but we did get the budget done and we did get a couple key priorities done. But really, a lot of people had some doubts that even the budget would get done this year because communications were a little less than ideal going down the pike. But thankfully, some priorities got done at a local level. And on my list is the single greatest bill of the Nevada legislative session for the greatest county in America. SB 69, which actually was brought by Story County, because that really was a poignant bill for the area because there have been no other master abatements or these larger $1 billion or $3.5 billion go-at abatements given to these large companies. But Tesla really started the way, and then Redwood Materials showed the way, and Story County led the way this year by saying, hey, this economic policy works to attract people, but let's make sure it works for the locals and the local governments like Story County and our stake on the field as well.
And, you know, and people know that I've been affiliated with Story County off and on for over 30 years, and you are as well. The interesting thing was that it doesn't just benefit Story County, but it benefits all the rural counties, that if they see a major piece of development coming in, which is very likely, that they have the ability to be able to say, okay, we need these things to allow your development to go forward. Tesla, for example, had done that with police, fire, all those kind of things. But now other companies will be obligated to do that prior to the agreements. And I think that's a very good thing for the rural counties.
And not just rural counties, but all counties. Because even if you're a larger county like Clark or Washoe, if some of these larger companies come to town, there could be an impact. But today, you actually get to be part of the NDA process, at least know what's going on, what might be coming to your county. If you're at a lower, smaller government entity where you can't do a special use permit, you can request some recoup of cost. But even having the information of what's coming to town should allow some of these companies to actually come to Nevada easier, prevent some of the NIMBY process, because we'll know what's coming, have some information at the county level, and be able to meet these companies where they're at. So it is a positive change for the whole economic development process and really every county. So
I've been talking to people in Esmeralda County, which is Goldfield, where Ioneer is going to be doing their mine. They're already in process, obviously. Thacker Pass is another one up in Humboldt County. They have both already, for public relations and also community benefit, doing a lot of things already. But you would never know if, you know, a rogue company came in, they got the abatements, but decided not to help out. That could be a real problem for some of the counties.
That could be a problem for Nevada, frankly. So it's good that we sort of tightened that loop up and said, if you're going to be here, you should benefit the community here, not just the company that wants to move here. So I really do think we cut the line in a pretty good way, where we want to incentivize people, we want to abate them. We want some information on the impacts and make sure that they're not over-impacting for the benefits they're getting. So really was a summation of good governance brought to the legislature. It was a hot and spicy fight. Don't underestimate that. But really, we came to a good piece of legislation that actually GOED supported and the governor signed. So it really does feel like overall, everyone kind of saw the big picture that this was needed and a positive change could be made. So glad we passed it.
This is the first time since I've done Newsmakers, but not with our dining show, where hot and spicy has been part of the conversation.
Oh, then you have not seen the sausages that a legislature made. Some are quite spicy sausages.
Yes, I try to avoid that part of the day. Let me ask you about this. What in the world happened with the movie bills? I mean, their refusal to come together when that was thrown out by the leading senator on this. Was that beneficial to anybody for nothing to go forward?
Who's anybody in this scenario? That's a good question. But what happened with the movie bill was a matter of timing versus missed opportunity, probably. If you look at the two legislatures that were, the 2023 legislative session, we actually had a budget surplus. We had a little bit more to play with in the budget. We had about $2 billion extra. That was really the time to get the deal together, come to some consensus and move forward, because we had some extra money to play with when it came to maybe investing in Nevada's future. Coming to the 2025 Nevada legislative session, that already had to be the most perfect deal in America to make everybody happy, because there were no dollars to spend, right? We're already up against the wall and feeling like any cut to Medicaid could be the end of our whole budget this year. So I thought, you know, the stakes were a lot tougher, a lot higher this year, and really they probably should have wrapped that opportunity up in 23 when they had a chance. But yeah, this year you take two measures, one on the Assembly side, one on the Senate side, with a lot more, you know, momentum on the Assembly side. But you bring it in, you know, the last week of the legislature, in fact, the last days, 2 days, and trying to have the Senate agree to that final measure after all these conversations, you're going to end up with some split opinions. And as we saw, the Senate's opinion was, no, thank you. We'll study it this year. And they actually offered to amend it into a study. And everyone knows the study is kind of the kiss of death for any actionable plans this year. So that's how it rolled.
I thought it was interesting that both the Speaker had doubts on the Assembly side, and the Majority Leader on the Senate side had said, if it's not one bill, it's not going to happen. And yet, that just never became the discussion.
And sometimes each party has a hill to die on, and those hills sometimes are very far apart from one another, and the valleys in between are uncrossable or unbridgeable, right? So I'm not sure if that's a good enough visual, but I do think the Senate had their priorities, and Roberta Lang really kept to some of those previous priorities from 2023. And, you know, the pressure campaign was on to make a bill happen, and this has to be it or nothing. We end up with nothing. So I think the priorities shook out to say, if it was a different time, a different budget, some different realities on the ground, lawmakers would not have felt the pressure to not make this choice or make it based on the best math. But when you saw the Assembly vote come out with, I think, one vote to spare, right, to get the 2/3, that already looked like a bill that you know, just made it through. I was worried when it was going to go to the Senate, but thankfully I actually was not working on the vessel at all, but I always wanted to see, you know, Jeremy Renner get a film school and, you know, see a little Hollywood show up in Vegas. But, you know, was that going to be a good fit? You know, apparently not.
Do you see it coming back in 2027?
There's always special sessions, Sam. So, you know, it could come back in 2025 too, but possibly, right? It really depends on what's the economics on the ground. Is Sony still eager to have a second market? And have they picked a different second market at that point, right? We do this every 2 years. It is harder for Nevada to say, you know, let's adjust it and take a bite of the apple next time when any other state could pick it up in the interim year and maybe be the new home state. So let's see what the opportunities look like in 27, but we'll see.
Would a special session benefit or hurt the governor in his reelection campaign?
I think a special session is a reality of budgetary necessity sometimes. So sometimes governors call special sessions for priority bills like the stadium, the Raiders bills, or the A's. But really, this might be a budgetary special session we look at just because, depending on the federal budget, what happens with the big, beautiful bill, what is consolidated on the Senate side, the budget reality flows downhill. In Nevada today, I think it's somewhere around $490 million from Medicaid a month. So do the math for a do the math for a biennium 24-month budget, right? You have to actually budget for the whole of the 24 each legislative session. And it might just be a math reality that something will change to the extent that we do have to backfill, take something out of the rainy day, or adjust something. It just might be the math. So really, I'm not declaring he wants to have a special session, but one might be coming just because it's the federal downstream.
As we're taping this on June 30th, looking at what's going on in D.C. right now, it seems that there are razor-thin abilities to get things done here or not done. And I don't know if the July 4th deadline is going to work. There would still be obviously time. That is not a drop-dead deadline. The country is not going to blow up if it doesn't get done by that date. But the pressure from so many states in terms of the Medicaid funding has just got to be incredible on those senators and congresspeople.
Unimaginable. And each one has their own little war based on their district or their home state, what that impact is going to be to them. So you got to imagine it's a big fight up there, but one that Nevada should be aware of because it will be impactful to us in some way.
Oh, yeah, huge, huge. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back much more with Will Adler after this timeout.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain, moving 95% of our freight in the Silver State. And while essential, the road isn't always smooth. Supply chain disruptions, rising fuel costs, and unrealistic rules and laws that hamper our ability to serve our customers and country. Our prosperity and every sector of the economy, manufacturing, mining, medicine, and food from farm to table, is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head on. By taking a proactive approach, ProGroup can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, ProGroup moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. ProGroup Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Will Adler. He's the founder of Silver State Government Relations. Looking back at the session that just ended, we had the school superintendent for White Pine County on the program talking about the need for their middle school. Mm-hmm. What happened with the process there? Are they going to get one?
The long story is maybe, and the short story is yes, I hope so, because in the mix, again, that was another bill of timing. White Pine County has been trying to get this initiative done for, I think, 3 sessions now.
And it's a big chunk of money.
It is a big chunk of money. It's a big old school, but it's probably going to be about a $90 million build out for schools. I know that very intimately because we did do the exact same thing last year with the tribal school account for the Oahe school, AB 519. We actually had to get some direct investment because it's a non-income area. Tribes don't have property tax. But White Pine has a similar issue where they have a tax base, but an inability to finance the whole project. A lot of that was due to the bonding, but Erica Mosca, someone from Las Vegas actually, brought a rural school bonding bill forward. You have to be a county of less than 15,000 population to apply for this, but this bond account will allow White Pine to actually backfill and then finance the production of that school. Is it today, here, and now? No, but it is that first step where I think they'll be able to facilitate the building of that school. With some of the other mechanisms like the rural school funding that's available from AB 519 into 2023, they can self-generate some new revenues and they can use this bond. But I think we all need to be supportive of them and other rural schools like that, because realities are when a mine was there and built the school originally, it was big and beautiful and 3 stories tall of stone. And now it's a 3-story liability for the students who actually have to go to school there. And we actually do need to shore up these facilities, or in this case, build them a new one.
Because, okay, and it's 100 yeah, years old.
112, I think.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, who's counting?
Yeah. Yeah. Once you get past 100 years, you're talking about serious issues for the kids.
Yep.
All right, we had the head of business and industry, Chris Sanchez, on the program, mm-hmm. talking about boards and commissions and trying to get those straightened out, according to the governor's desires. But that ended up going nowhere. What happened there?
There's a lot of boards and a lot of commissions.
Certainly are.
All sure like themselves being independent and having their own voice. So this idea of consolidating their voices, it seemed to make them all get louder for some reason. But
didn't it, though?
I know. Weird how that works. But, I mean, there's a couple governor initiatives like that. Boards and commissions was actually a very valid one in a lot of cases, because there does seem to be this overlap or these, chatterboxes that sort of talk about the same issue but in a different way. But that the idea of consolidating them just was too big a bite to take in one bite. I think maybe they incrementally took certain categories per year and tried to consolidate them one at a time, you would disarm them a little bit more, because we had every single category and go for the big consolidation at once. A lot of people felt like a lot would get lost in the mix. So maybe if they did it more incrementally, I think they'd have success. The governor, too, had the governor's crime bill, right? That had a lot of good initiatives in it that he really wanted to promote in the right light. Politics did get in the way of that one, but even more incredibly, Ira Hansen got in the way of that at the end with an 18-minute filibuster on the Senate floor. So it isn't like a governor's initiative dies because of a lobbying effort or a loud amount of voices pushing against it. Sometimes it's just timing in the building, whereas you can have the best intentions ever, but SB 457 was a governor's crime bill, very supported by the gaming community, and it just got stuck in that last bit of consolidation and process of the process. Signy die happens, and you run out of time, and sometimes your bill's still on the desk, and it doesn't pass for that reason, too.
Right, but you said filibuster, but I think Ira Hansen would say that he was very upset about the idea on the legislative commission to change the makeup of that. And that was a very big deal to him and to others. And so not so much a filibuster, but,
a correct point of objection. I actually agree with Ira Hansen personally as well, because that has been the traditional stake, is no matter what your actual headcount is on the floor, the majority House gets the majority of the seats, but the minority still had a representative voice in each committee, and that really gave a good balance when it came to the committee process that I really liked in Nevada. So I do hope that continues, and I did agree with Ira Hansen's objection. But some bills just fall off the table in the mix, is all I was saying. Time did run out on that one.
Yeah, to say the least. All right, and by the way, that brings up a point. We go down there in March, not February, because the first month seems to me, for the most part, to be a waste. I'm sure the people doing things do not consider it to be a waste, but there is so much that could get done in that first month that doesn't get done. Mm-hmm. And then it all tries to get done in the last 15 minutes of the session. Come on.
There is a bit of that where actually feel like February got some good pacing going, and then we had a stall of a March this year. But yeah, we could talk about that.
Well, it's kind of like when you're doing barbecue and you get to that stall and you have to overcome it to get your food cooked to the right temperature. All right, we'll take another break. We'll be right back.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
Meet Nevada Health Link, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance, where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada Health Link. Our plans are made for your plans.
Carson Valley Inn, it's your place for the good times. Carson Valley Inn.
Welcome to the Ahern Boutique Hotel, where luxury and warmth come together in the heart of Las Vegas.
We take pride in offering a one-of-a-kind experience for both locals and tourists.
Join us for handcrafted cocktails and an unforgettable experience.
Joel's Chop House, the perfect place to savor views of the Las Vegas Strip.
Satisfy your cravings at the Ahern Chocolate Shop.
No smoking, no resort fees, and the parking is always free. The Ahern Luxury Boutique Hotel is your home away from home.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Will Adler. He is the founder of Silver State Government Relations. I got to ask you about this bolo tie you're wearing, because it's pretty amazing and huge.
Thank you. Yes, it is amazing and huge. And I actually purchased it in support of the Oahe School. Duck Valley held the first black tie gala for the Elko Mine Expo. And actually, Nevada Gold Mines and some of the other larger mines like Kinross purchased tables. We raised over $550,000 to self-build our own school out in Duck Valley. So I bought this because it was made by one of the tribal members, and it's one of the elk shot by the chairman's brother. These actual elk antlers and the top of an elk crown were used to make it.
That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about your list of best vetoes, because the governor broke his own record. And what was the deal? I mean, you know, was this just all about his reelection campaign? You know, let's have him veto even more things.
To be fair, at the beginning of the year, I did think there's more communication coming and we're going to see less vetoes. But when you end up with 76, not 75, it does feel like you're just trying to break your own record a little bit. But the Democrats, frankly, could have given him fewer things to veto. He could have had a more friendly field to play in, because the attorney general did announce he was running for governor prior to this legislative session even beginning. So it did set a tone of, you know, who's here for what this legislature, and, you know, whose priorities have to be heard or not. The governor does have to play his own political game as the only Republican with a say on the field. Ultimately, the veto is the big vote, right? Lieutenant governor as well. He does have a literal vote in the Senate. But really, when it came to the politics of it, the governor was always going to use that veto pen. The Democrats are always going to bring a few bills forward, but this year did feel like he wanted to make a statement by hitting that 76. So, yeah.
Okay, but you were going to bring up your best vetoes.
I would say some of the best vetoes, or maybe worst vetoes in my mind, was he did have some political ones, clearly. AB 144 is Indigenous Peoples Day, right? We have to protect Columbus by vetoing Indigenous Peoples Day. I think some of these things were less meaningful, but I did think he targeted the attorney general's bills, and I was going to mention those very directly. But as I stated, he somewhat had to, right? In these political atmospheres, when you state, I'm running against you, here's my priority, it gives the governor a lot of leeway to say, well, that's a reason I don't support that bill. So maybe we'll leave it at that. But I did want to say a lot of good things did get done this year. We did have a lot of efforts that we should be proud of. In fact, cannabis had a pretty good day where we are going to lower the cost of cannabis, increase the amount you can sell it for, and have larger serving sizes and lower testing quantities so we can actually have more affordable cannabis in the field today. So I just want to say, don't worry about the 76. It is a big number, but it is politics incarnate. It shows you what the Nevada legislature could be like.
Do you think Steve Sisolak is actually going to throw his hat in the ring?
Yeah, I think Governor Sisolak has said he wanted to try again, and we'll see if he does that. I think there could be a few more characters to enter the race, but I do want to state Nevada deserves a good race, no matter who it is. I don't want to see somebody not run again, because we ended up with that with Brian Sandoval, where you just had this sort of no contest year. But if it's Attorney General Ford, if it's Steve Sisolak, I just want to see sort of that middle brought forward, because in these midterm years, you do feel like you're running against Donald Trump right now. So if you could see a little bit more of a Nevada-focused conversation and have Nevada priorities brought forward this year, that's my ideal year, because Nevada has a lot to talk about, a lot of priorities that our governor should invest in, including lithium mining, the refining of those products, but also the generation of the power we'll need for the data centers coming. I think our governor should really take a stance on pro-energy development, be it solar or otherwise, because we need it in this state. We're growing faster than anybody, and our governor's going to matter, and having that right tone is really going to set the right pace here in Nevada. So,
and that's where we have to leave it, sir. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real. It's growing. And it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
It's a good time to eat. It's a good time to play.
It's a good time to win.
Ooh, your good times, a train wreck.
You can always watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Thanks for watching and listening.